What's the event that actually kicks off the tribulation? And no, it's not the rapture. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We've been talking about the 69th week going into the 70th week of Daniel, and I asked at the tease at the top of the hour, what is the actual event that literally kicks off the tribulation period? And the answer to that question is really seen in the 27th verse of Daniel chapter 9, and that's what we're going to be going over today. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to the latest issue of, or the latest episode of Study, Grow, Know. Thanks so much for joining me. We've been doing a series entitled Between Weeks, and that's based on a book I wrote, a short book I wrote of 70 pages to explain the 70 weeks of Daniel, and of course that's based on Daniel chapter 9. But the event that we're talking about here is the covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel for 7 years. 7 years is the amount of time, literal time needed to complete all 70 weeks. There's 7 years left. And I know that some have an issue with the gap that supposedly exists, and we covered that previously, but there really is a gap because going from verse 25 to verse 26, it says, and after this. So there's a parenthesis in there where it says, and after this, and then it lists a number of things that will occur after the end of the 69th week, but before the beginning of the 70th week. And we already covered that. And the event that kicks off the 7 year tribulation, which is the start of the 70th week of Daniel, is the covenant that the Antichrist is able to broker with Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. Now, how do we know that someone is going to make a covenant with Israel? And how do we know that the 7 years mentioned in Daniel 9, verse 27 are actually 7 years? Why can't these years here be months or decades or some other numerical figure that simply is metaphorically referenced by the word years? Well, first we know that the covenant will be made with Israel because Gabriel began his discourse here in chapter 9 by stating to Daniel that the 70 weeks concern his, Daniel's people, and his, Daniel's holy city of Jerusalem. We can see this in verse 24 of chapter 9. We don't have to guess. We don't have to apply some arbitrary metaphorical figure to the situation. So if Gabriel is telling Daniel what will happen to his people, Israel, the Jews, and his holy city, Jerusalem, well, then it's obvious that the entire period of 70 weeks deals with events that will be visited upon Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem. Now, 70 weeks are decreed for your people. 70 weeks are decreed for your people and your holy city. That's basically what Gabriel is telling Daniel. There can be no other interpretation without doing damage to the integrity of the text. And that's very important to realize. The full 70 weeks is said to be directed to Israel and Jerusalem. The full 70 weeks. And we've clearly seen the end of the 69th week. And if there is a break between the 69th and 70th week, as I believe I've adequately pointed out, it is obviously important to figure out if and when the 70th week is slated to begin. Lewis Berry Chafer comments on this break, and he notes this, quote, "This present age is as a parenthesis in Jewish history," unquote. Now, as stated, since the entire prophecy relayed from Gabriel deals with Daniel's people and the holy city of Jerusalem, then the gap or break in between the 69th and 70 weeks also deals with Daniel's people and his holy city. Had God intended to transfer all the remaining blessings that were originally slated for Israel to the church, it is extremely doubtful that this entire 70 weeks would have related to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. This is why so many scholars who believe that the promises have been transferred to the church try as hard as they do to find a way to show that the full 70 weeks have already occurred. There are too many things, in my view, that preempt this opinion, some of which I've already discussed those with you. Now, we haven't really dealt with the final 70th week yet. Has it occurred in the past? Is it still a future event? If all the weeks have somehow been fulfilled, as some believe, then all of this is in the past, and it merely becomes a nice biblical history lesson. But let's not stop there. We need to find out what the conclusion really is. So, let's look at it this way. If you've ever enjoyed any type of race at all, whether it was a bike race, a Pinewood Derby race, a foot race, or any number of other races, you know that races do not normally run concurrently, especially in the Olympics. They don't run one right after the other. Usually, once a race ends, it takes at least a few minutes to check the track and get everyone lined up for the start of the next race. Most races are timed, especially if the race, as I said, is part of an Olympic event. It is important that they not only know who the winner is, but whether or not the winner's time is the best ever to date. So they keep track of a couple of things. Now, if so, then that person becomes the new world record holder for that event. Most of us know of Jesse Owens. And for those who do not, because you might have been too young at the time or not even born, he was an African-American gentleman who was a tremendous athlete. And in the 1936 Olympics, he was one such individual who represented the United States in a number of track and field events. That year, the Olympics took place in Germany, the heart of Hitler's territory. Hitler was intending to prove to the world that the Aryan race of Germany was by far superior to the rest of the world's cultures and populations. To that end, Owens won four gold events in four separate events, to Hitler's chagrin. Owens proved, of course, that superiority has nothing to do with ethnicity. But the other important point, as far as it relates to this subject, is that Owens did not compete in those four events consecutively without any type of a break at all. No athlete does that. If we then understand this, we see something similar at work in the biblical text. Gabriel states that when the 69th week concludes, three things must occur. This is obvious from verse 27 that they must occur before the 70th week and the final week starts. It's at the beginning of verse 27 that we read these words, quote, "And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week." All right, this then would be the final week of God's prophetic timetable related to Israel, which has either already taken place or it is yet future. Now, verse 27 specifically mentions 1 week. Consistency demands that we must treat this week as we have treated the previous weeks, as far as length of time is concerned. This week, then, must be equal to 7 years. Some, though, prefer to view the first set of weeks as years equaling 483 years. However, they arrive at this final week in verse 27, and all of a sudden they say it represents decades or even centuries. If a week of sevens, which is years, is the time span applied to the first 69 weeks, then the final week must also represent the same time span, and in this case, 7 years. That's how long a week of sevens references in Daniel chapter 9. For folks who do not see the first 69 weeks and the 70th as usual or using the same period of time per week, I believe they're taking liberties with the text. There's absolutely no logic involved in what they're doing. It is obvious that they have chosen to apply a different length of time for the 70th week for reasons which I believe are purely subjective. They're trying to make it fit. There's no logic. There were two major events, plus an overall world climate, which were slated to happen after the 69th week concludes. They were to take place before the 70th week begins. They are: the Messiah would be killed, or as the text states, cut off, Jerusalem would be destroyed, and there will be wars to the end along with desolations. Look, this has been happening. Jesus was killed. He rose from the dead. In A.D. 70, 40 or so years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. And since that time, there have been wars and desolations. And they will continue, according to Jesus in Matthew 24, until the end. Now, the obvious break between the 69th and 70th weeks is due solely to the fact that the 70th week does not begin until after the events described by Gabriel, which are slated to occur after the 69th week, and the signing of the covenant. The verses can only be understood differently when an allegorical interpretation is applied to the text. However, even if we stretch things to say that the second mention of a prince refers to Christ's death, which caused the sacrifices to cease, which they did not, by the way, then the halfway point that Gabriel mentions is said to be the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem from the covenant or replacement theologian's position. This is overshooting the mark, though, because this 1 week of 7 years has become roughly 40 years. There's absolutely no basis for that interpretation. It seems much more logical to understand the two princes mentioned in these four verses, 24 through 27 of chapter 9, as two completely different people, with the first prince referencing Christ and the second referencing someone else entirely. The second prince, he, will make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. As mentioned, Scripture is best served by using a consistent method of interpretation, just like the previous weeks. So this remaining week must also represent 7 years as well. If you believe that the weeks totaling 69 weeks, or 483 years, ended with verse 25, and the final 7 years ran immediately after 69 weeks, it would have ended 7 years after Christ's resurrection. All we need to do is determine what is happening then in church history. And the church was building up at that point and was just beginning to reach out to the Gentiles. In fact, in 38 AD, Peter was baptizing the first Gentile convert. If we move ahead 3.5 years after Peter's baptism of the first Gentile convert, we are between Stephen's stoning and Paul's conversion. But there's nothing that stands out in 40 AD, which would have been 7 years after Christ's crucifixion. And even if we go back to 39 AD, still nothing remarkable stands out on the timeline. From 48 to 49 AD, we read about Paul's first missionary journey. So the point to remember is not that time has continued to be marked by God where Israel is concerned, but that Christ's rejection after his successful triumphal entry into Jerusalem has effectively stopped the prophetic clock, just as the timer stops at the end of a race. And it will remain stopped until the 70th week begins. Again, that's very much like the time between races, as I previously mentioned. Time outside the racetrack marches onward, of course, without stopping. But the clock that keeps time for each race is shut off because it's not needed at that point once the race is over. It'll begin keeping track of time when the next race begins, not 1 second before. This is what God seems to have done with the 69th and 70th weeks. And that's our show for today. I hope it has made sense. I hope it's got you thinking. And I hope you'll join me next time here on Study, Grow, Know. And until then, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.